Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
But we're going to do it anyway.
We are.
I'm Kimberly Adams. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me Smart, where none of us is as smart as all of us.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is a Tuesday, which of course means we're going to do a... Oh, wait, no, we're not, because we had to change things up because of people's schedules. It's just going to be me and Kimberly today. We're going to do a little news, we're going to do a little mailbag, and then we're going to get out of your hair. Because, you know, people get busy and they can't make appointments, and we totally understand that. But the thing we were going to talk about today is really good and important, and we're going to do it at a future date. Trust me when I tell you that. So,
very important.
Very important. So we'll get to the news. Why don't you go first?
I'm going to do half of mine first because it relates to yours, and then I'll come back with my other one. How about that?
Yeah.
So the first of my news fixes is an opinion piece in the Washington Post by Josh Rogan. Now, caveat, I'm not thrilled with this headline, but bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
So the headline is, Putin has been a war criminal for years. Nobody cared until now.
Hmm.
Now, that nobody is doing a little bit of a lot there, because I think there were certain people who always cared. But the whole premise of the piece is that the things Putin is doing in Ukraine that people are calling war crimes and saying he's a war criminal for doing, targeting civilians, targeting humanitarian corridors, potentially using chemical weapons on civilians. It's literally the exact same playbook that he used in Syria. And this has been going on for more than, I mean, since 2015, roughly. And there was a really interesting quote from, let's see, from Representative Brendan Boyle, Democrat from Pennsylvania, who says that Putin is using the Aleppo playbook. Like, that's how similar it is. And the quote there that really struck me was, I firmly believe that if the world had reacted to Syria as they are now, there would have never been a Ukrainian invasion to begin with.
Yeah, look, it's tough to argue
and,
with that, right? I mean,
yeah, and I know I mentioned, like, in terms of the refugee crisis early on, that it was very stark how differently this was being treated than the conflict in Syria. And this is yet another way that the consequences of sort of picking and choosing what we care about can have knock-on consequences. Now, there's a whole other geopolitical argument to make about why the Ukraine conflict maybe has greater relevance to us at this particular junction in time than the Syrian conflict did now. And I'll leave that to folks smarter in that area than me. But it's a very thoughtful piece, and I gained a lot from it.
Yeah, should read it. We'll put it, obviously, on the show page. Am I jumping in here and then we're going to come back to you?
Is that
what we're going to do? Okay. A couple of stories today of a theme, and that theme is sanctions and embargoes are not what you think they are. Story today in the Wall Street Journal talking about companies still selling in Russia. For example, you can still get Lay's potato chips in Russia. You can still get Gillette razors and Air Wick home fragrances made by Procter & Gamble and Pepsi and many other big consumer goods manufacturers who have said they're pulling out and will only sell essential items into the Russian market, food, baby food, those kinds of essentials. But really, it's sort of in the eye of the beholder. And it's a really interesting window into, business or principles. And look, I understand the challenges, but maybe there are some times to take a stand. Item number two, story number two, Renault, the French car maker, which is owned, by the way, in the majority by the French government, is going to resume making its branded Soviet-era branded cars, the Lada and the like, over there. Another instance where there are some pressures to make some money. You know, and I think I said this on this program the other day about oh, no, I didn't. It was on Marketplace about distressed assets and how Russian bonds are still trading quite actively. Thank you very much in the secondary market because there is money to be made. And I think we're going to see more of this the longer this goes on. I do.
Yeah. And I wonder how much consumer pressure there's going to be when we keep going back to that Washington Post survey about how much pain consumers were willing to feel to support the Ukrainians in this. And I wonder how long the consumer pressure on companies to take a stand is going to last when they're also feeling the pain of inflation and, you know, the other knock-on effects of sort of knocking Russia out of the global economy.
Right. This is it's the worst possible, macroeconomically speaking, forgetting for a second, although we can't forget it, the humanitarian catastrophe that's happening, just on a macroeconomic scale, worst possible time. Worst possible time.
Yeah.
Which makes me sound like a jerk, but I'm not a jerk.
You're not a jerk.
Okay. All right.
And we can sit with lots of different things at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Fair point. So. Thank you.
All right. Going in a completely different direction, there was yet another Washington Post piece, reporters this time, about Democratic Party officials circulating plans, like not like a plan we are going to do this, but a draft for discussion, laying out some options for how the party will decide where the early states are, which states are going to be able to vote early in the primary process. Why is this important? Because much has been made in recent years that the early voting states tend to be not representative of A, the United States demographically, but in particular, the Democratic Party. Yeah. That is to say, Iowa is a lot wider, a lot more rural, and a lot more conservative than a lot of the Democratic Party in the rest of the country. And this was a not to mention that last go round, Iowa had a lot of problems with its caucuses and counting votes, and it was a disaster. And so the Democratic Party reviewing this now in the lead up to the next presidential elections is something very interesting to watch because states really want to go first. They really want to go first because it allows their Democrats or their Republicans to give the boost to the candidate that they like the most. And then they've got the wind in their sails heading into the next round of primaries or caucuses. Not to mention the unbelievable amount of money it dumps into a state for campaigning. I mean, have candidates that ignore the vast majority of the country to just fully dump money into Iowa early on just so they can get over that initial hump. So watching how that plays out, Republicans seem to not want to change their model. But watching how this plays out for the Democratic Party is going to be really interesting.
And let's just observe here, as I look up the monitor and the hearings for Ketanji Brown Jackson are going on CNN, that several members of that committee, Republican members, are already making the schlep to Iowa and New Hampshire. I mean, you know, it's already started, peeps. It's already started, you know?
Fundraising certainly has started.
Yeah, totally has. Totally has. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in this little, you know, amended Tuesday show.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews, and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes every Sunday wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Let's do the mailbag.
Let's.
Yeah.
Hi, Kai and Kimberly.
This is Godfrey from San Francisco.
Jesse from Charleston, South Carolina.
And I have a follow-up question.
It has me thinking and feeling a lot of things.
The new Sting. Loving it. Anyway, last week, I talked about how much it's costing me to fill up my minivan right now at the gas station around the corner where it's $5.69. Gas, on the average, by the way, in Los Angeles County is above $6 now. Anyway, I was complaining and got this from a fellow minivan driver.
Good morning, K-Squared. Wow. This is Devin in Sacramento, a fellow proud minivan dad. Wow. My super dad mobile, a Chrysler Pacifica plug-in hybrid, is awesome. So comfortable, functional, and super high-tech. I run into a little problem, though. Unless I take a long-distance trip, I can often go more than 3 months on a single tank of gas.
Wow.
And then the van starts complaining. I'm not joking. It actually complains that the gas is too old.
Mm-hmm.
Buying it last summer was a huge pain, but it's been smooth sailing ever since.
Little known fact, gas does age. Look, I think the deal is that we're not going to go for another minivan in my house just because the kids are older and we don't actually need one. But those are the options, right? I mean, it's plug-in hybrid or electric. That's there's nothing else on the horizon for me buying new cars, and hopefully most other people too, honestly. You know?
So you're never going to be an SUV guy?
No, I'm never going to be an SUV guy. We're going to get something with a little room in the back for, you know, like the dogs and stuff. But we don't. I don't need a, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 passenger minivan? I don't need that anymore. You know?
Fair. Yeah. I also love the K-Squared.
That's yeah, fine. That was great, right? Also, he was very high energy. Could I just say? He was very high energy. Just, you know.
I would like whatever caffeinated beverage he is having.
That's right.
All right, our next voice memo comes from Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Kai. After decades of my husband telling me I had to see The Neverending Story, which I had somehow managed to miss, although the song has been stuck in my head so many times, I finally saw it, and it was awful.
Boom!
Stick to your guns.
No!
Don't get your hopes up. Love the show. Congrats to Kimberly on her new permanent role.
Yes,
thanks.
Congrats to Kimberly, but boom, if I had a mic, I would drop it. Well, I do have a mic, but they'd yell at me if I dropped it.
She must have seen The Neverending Story Part 2, because that was garbage. But the first one was amazing. And, like, I love the compliment wrapped in a diss.
I know, right?
So.
A little bit. Love the show. Congrats.
Thanks,
but your idea is terrible. Oh, man.
It's like you have terrible taste, but welcome.
All right. Before we go, we're going to leave you with this week's answer to the Make Me Smart question. Pandemic edition again. You guys are sending a bunch of them, and it's great. What is something you thought you knew about this pandemic, but you later found out you were wrong about?
This week's answer comes from Sarah in Silver Spring, Maryland, just up the road from me.
I'm a composer, but my day job is as a church musician. I've always felt a little self-indulgent getting to work at a job that I assumed most people would see as pretty superfluous. But over the last 2 years, I've seen just how much music connects people. This weekend is our first time letting the congregation sing again since the pandemic started. And even though it's a solemn season in the church, there's definitely a party-like anticipation. I guess maybe we're a bit more necessary than I realized.
That's cool.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I just love that. That's really sweet.
That was really nice.
And thanks for that little musical interlude.
We should say it comes to us from the Sunday service at St. Luke's Episcopal in Bethesda. Do us a favor, would you keep sending us your answers, pandemic-related or not, to the Make Me Smart question. Voice memo to our email at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Leave us a message, 508-827-6278. 508-UB-SMART is how to get to us.
Make Me Smart is directed and produced by Marissa Cabrera. Our team also includes producer Mark A. Green and Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter. Our intern is Tiffany Bowie.
Juan Carlos Torrado engineered today. Brian Allison is going to mix it down later. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. The senior producer is Bridget Bonner. Donna Tam is the director of On Demand. Marketplace's Vice President and General Manager is Neil Scarborough.
My uncle was a church musician for a long time, too. He can, like, play all the instruments.
Yeah.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.